Get this at the right angle. See, Judy's disappearing. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Morning. Right. Well, in about a week's time, we're going to be having a festival of Shavuot, or Pentecost, which is, as everybody here knows, is the time when the Holy Spirit came down on the church. And about 1400 years before that was the time when God gave Israel the Ten Commandments. And somebody just pointed out to me just this morning that it's also, a few days ago, was the Ascension, when Jesus ascended up to heaven. But I'm sure those are going to be covered very adequately, but I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about a completely different time of the year. And I'm going to start by quoting from a scripture, which you've all heard the scripture. You've probably heard it hundreds of times. You could quote it from memory. I'm sure most of you could quote it from memory. And I will... That's the thing about the Word of God. It doesn't matter how often you read it. The Word of God comes from... Obviously, it comes from God. And He has the greatest infinite mind in the universe. And no matter how much you read a particular passage, you will always get more out of it. So I am going to... start by reading from Luke chapter 2. And for the benefit of the lady on the laptop, Luke chapter 2 verse 1. Exceptionally good timing. And it came to, and so again, this is quoted at a particularly a different time of the year, but I'm going to quote it now. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now this is a punchline. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, you all heard this and read this scripture hundreds of times. You could quote it from memory. Now, there are various points one can make from it, things we can take from this. One or two you probably know already. Now, the first point you probably know already. They were out with their flocks at night in the fields. Now, as most of you know, I was a shepherd in the Middle East. And I happen to know that Bethlehem and Jerusalem, at that time of at the traditional time, December the 25th, you would not be out with your sheep at night. You just wouldn't. In fact, when I was on the kibbutz, you wouldn't have been out with your sheep at all at night. Because we used to... After we'd milked the sheep, we would bring them up to the hillside above the kibbutz, and there were carob trees growing there, and they'd feed under these carob trees. It was a very pastoral site. You could look over the valley, you could see Beth Shemesh the other side, See, down the valley is where Samson courted his first wife. You can see a little tell there. But the point is, right next to where we were grazing, there was a graveyard, a cemetery. One of the graves there was of a young man who'd been out with the sheep, and the local Arabs had shot him. So, and this was while he was guarding the sheep at night. So we didn't do that at night. But the point is, these shepherds were out at night, indicating that Jesus was not born in December. Now, most of us probably are aware that he was probably born in the autumn, at or around the Feast of Tabernacles. I think he was born on trumpets, but so who am I, you know? That's my opinion. But so that is the first point. The shepherds are out in the fields when he was born. Now, the second point I want to make, and say, well, verse 9, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, having been a shepherd out there, most of the people that I came across who were working with me were in the Israeli parachute regiment, and they didn't scare very easily. Now, you remember back to David, before he was King David, he was a shepherd. And Saul said, what qualifications have you got? Did you go to military academy? You know, you're going to face this giant, the Goliath. And he said, well, no, but a bear attacked the flock. And polished him off. And then a lion attacked the flock. And he's dead too. So I think I can deal with Goliath. So David, he didn't scare very easily. Now, most of the people I worked with were in Israeli parachute regiment. And I'll tell you about a couple of them. And most of them were of South African extraction, because they were, you know, it was basically half the kibbutz were South Africans and Americans, but very strong South African feel about it. And now, one of the guys, a very mild looking man, looked a bit like Clark Kent, and but he'd been with, you've heard of the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Now, he was with the paras, with Ariel Sharon, when he crossed the canal and got behind the Egyptian Third Army, and at that time of the war, I was there at the other end of the country at the time, But anyway, he was there, and he was hit in the eye by a shell splinter. He didn't lose his sight, but he has to wear dark glasses. So he was a very tough man, but you know, he looked just like Clark Kent. You wouldn't think he knew what a weapon was. Then there was another fellow. His name was Aaron. And everybody called him Arthur, because that was the name he was given when he was born. Arthur, he's a real South African, he was. And he was also in the parachute regiment. And he was in the relief of Jerusalem in 1967. But more important, he was in Sinai in 1956 with Arik Sharon, the same leader. You know, with about 20 years difference. And when they were starting this campaign, they were going to attack the Egyptians, but they didn't want to look like the aggressors. So they said, Aaron, come here. We want you to annoy the Egyptians. We want you to walk up and down the line, pull faces at them and, you know, insult them and make them shoot you. So he said, well, I don't particularly want to do that. So he said, well, don't worry. They won't get you with the first verse. They won't have time for the second verse, because we're ready for them. So there was Arthur. So he and the officer, they sort of drove up and down the line, sort of pulling faces at the Egyptians. And the Egyptians, of course, they're not stupid. So they did nothing. And then the officer got bored. So he said, You go ahead, you do it. You're better at I am than annoying people. You've been doing it all your life. So he walked up and down the line, and And he could see the machine gunner following him, and his knuckles were white, and he kept looking at his officer, and the officer kept saying, doing that, you know. But, and then anyway, a little later the war started. And about the seven of them were down at the floor of the Mittler Pass. At the top there were the Egyptians, and they were fired at from the heights above. So the officer said, charge. And the way Arthur told it, he says, I'll go and get reinforcements, shall I, sir? And the officer said, shut up and charge. So they charged up the hill, seven of them, and they took a position of 30 men with automatic weapons. So, and Arthur, he was the only man on the kibbutz that the local Bedouin, every kibbutz has its local Bedouin around it, the only one that they respected. All you had to do if there was trouble, you'd go up to them and say, the beard is coming, you know. I think it was Asharib Horn, you know, the beard is coming, and off they'd go, you know, because they respected him and they feared him. So the point is, the people I worked with were very brave, tough men. But on the other hand, the Bedouin shepherds were also very brave, tough men. And I had some very good friends just to the east of Bethlehem, of Jerusalem. I was friendly with a family of Bedouin. And I met an Israeli soldier who'd actually faced these same Bedouin. And he said, if you have 1,000 Israelis and one Jordanian Bedouin, he will go on fighting. He won't surrender. He won't surrender. If he's ordered to surrender by his senior officer, he will do it. But even then, the safest thing is you give him a packet, you give him a pat on the back, packet of cigarettes, tell him to go home. So, because you don't mess with the Jordanian Bedouin. Shepherds are very, very brave men. So, that's a point. So, what happened when those angels came was, it must have been quite exceptional to frighten them. Now, another point. Shepherds do not look after any particular, just any flock. Shepherds look after a particular flock. Now, when I was working as a shepherd, we used to milk the sheep, and I've told you about milking the sheep and taking them up the hills before. But we used to milk the sheep and take them up the hills, or, you know, to where the grazing was. And the first couple of times, Arthur went with me, and he was training me. And while he was training me, the sheep were getting to know me, working with him. So because they accepted Arthur, or Aaron, they accepted me. So after a couple of sessions, the third time, he lined all the sheep up and he says, right, you horrible lot. This is Shimshon. They all call me Shimshon, Samson. You're going to take orders from him, and if there's any trouble, I want to know why. He looks him in the eye, you know, just like a parade. And so after that, I would lead them out, and they would trust me because they trusted their chief shepherd. So the point is that the shepherds who were looking after the sheep in Bethlehem were looking after a particular flock of sheep. Not just any flock of sheep, they were looking after a particular flock. Now, was there any significance of the flock that these shepherds were looking after? Now, they were almost certainly at a place called Migdal Eder. Migdal Eder. Migdal means watchtower, and Eder means flock or herd. Now, Migdal Eder was traditionally the flock which was destined to be sacrificed in the temple. So, and the Migdal was the place, it wasn't just a watchtower, that was what they had as a maternity ward for the sheep. Now, we had a maternity ward for our sheep. We refer to it as the top. I think it's an Afrikaans word because... But basically, it was a maternity ward. What would happen is a sheep would come up and say, oh, my contractions are getting, you know. So we'd grab her and we'd stick her in the maternity ward in one of the pens. And we'd keep an eye on this sheep until she gave birth. Occasionally, we'd help to give birth. Sometimes when the lamb came out, it was all slimy, you know. So we'd get a bit of straw and we'd sort of dry her off, dry the lamb off a bit. And we'd have to make sure that the sheep accepted the lamb. And there were various tricks if the sheep didn't accept the lamb. But the point was we had to baby these lambs. Now, it was the same sort of thing that was happening in this Migdal Eder. They would find the pregnant sheep, they would put them in this maternity ward, but there was something very special about this flock because they were destined to be sacrificed in the temple. Now, as you, I think last year, Janice produced a song called Watch the Lamb, if you remember that. Now, it was about a dad and his son, and they would walk this little lamb all the way to Jerusalem to be sacrificed. And a lot of people did that. They have their little lamb, they pick the best lamb in the flock, and then they bring it to Jerusalem. And they could, but a lot of them did that, but a lot of them didn't do that. What they would do is they'd get the money in their pocket, and they would go and they would buy a lamb from the flock, and they would sacrifice that. So the lambs in Bethlehem were to be sacrificed in the temple. That was their destiny. And they had to be in perfect condition. So they were babied. They were nannied. When they were born, they had to pick them up, take them out, handle them very carefully. And then they would wrap them sometimes in what they call swaddling cloths, just to protect them. I saw my mother do that once, not with a lamb, but with a little kitten. My mother was trying to weigh this kitten on the scales, but the kitten was going all over the place. So she wrapped this little kitten in a towel, just like a swaddling cloth, and put him on the scales and led the way. And they used to do that with the little lambs. So the shepherds were very familiar with what these swaddling cloths were for. They were to protect the little lambs after they were born. So this is it. The angel appeared to them. Okay, let's, there's another tradition. If you'd like to turn to Micah 4 verse 8. And you, O tower of the flock, and that's Migdal Eder, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, there's a version of the Bible called the Targum, which is basically the Old Testament in Aramaic. It's translated into Aramaic. And in that translation, it indicates that the Messiah will be announced from Migdal Eder near Bethlehem. And also, it's mentioned in the Talmud as well as in the Mishnah, that the Messiah would be announced from Bethlehem, from Migdal Eder. So let's continue. Go back to Luke verse 2. Luke 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as you've been swaddling these lambs, destined for sacrifice, lying in a manger. Now the conditions in this manger would probably have been quite good, because this was a special flock destined for sacrificing in the temple. And verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So prophecy had been fulfilled. The Messiah had been announced from Migdal Eder in Bethlehem. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. And so you can take probably any scripture in the Bible, one that we've heard hundreds of times, we know by heart, but there's always something else there that you can get from any scripture. That's what I read. It's from the mind of God himself.